Calvary Port Acres Creed number 4. Ready? We believe that man was created by and for God, and that all people are sinners by nature and practice, and are born separated from God. Now that sounds really bad if that's all you stop at. But remember, there's six other points there with our creed. Right? And there's some good ones about salvation and life. Amen? All right. Y'all would be seated. Thank you so much. Church, the challenge for us this morning is to fall into worship. Fall into worship. Now, fall into worship, when I hear fall in, like if you're in the military, you hear fall in, or with Boy Scouts, we do that. Fall in, where we think about military command. Fall in, squad. And it meant to get in line, to get ready to do whatever you're about to do. And so the idea is fall in, get ready for that. But, you know, you start to think about that. I kind of like that idea with church, with a church gathering, right? Fall in, like everyone get ready to do something, right? Get ready to do something for Jesus with others. That's pretty exciting. So fall in. I also think about fall into something, like fall into the arms of God. Boy, that would be wonderful, just to fall into the arms of God. Fall into His love. I like that. So this morning, I want us to fall in, but I want to fall in to worship. Get in position, church, and get ready to do something with Jesus, with others with you this morning. And to fall into the arms of God this morning as you worship Him. Amen? The Bible says in Psalms 86:9, all nations whom you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. For you are great and do wondrous deeds. You are God alone. I love that. What a great verse that is. You are God alone. Worship is more than just the actions we perform. It is more about the attitude behind the actions. Attitude really makes a difference, doesn't it? You ever wake up in the morning and you just kind of have a bad attitude? And it doesn't matter what happens all day long, everything goes bad. But if you wake up in the morning with a good attitude, everything goes good. Even bad things. You ever notice that? Attitude's everything. You can have a good day and a bad day based on your attitude. You can have a good marriage and a bad marriage based on your attitude. You can have good worship or bad worship based on your attitude. You ever thought about that? You ever thought about when you come into church and if you have a bad attitude, like it's really hard to kind of get in the, you know. I grew up and we'd go to church sometimes and it would be kind of tense when we get there to church. I remember that and it's kind of like, you know, just sit there and it was kind of hard to kind of get into it, wasn't it? And I can remember talking with families if they have a fight on the way to church. You know, and they talk about, you know, oh, we had a fight on the way to church. And the whole time they're like, Jesus, you're my living hope. Yeah. Praise, hallelujah. You know, just because they're already upset. It's hard, isn't it? Psalm 27, David begins by expressing his attitude towards God. What is unusual is that David writes this declaration. Get this. In the middle of being attacked by his enemies. He says in Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom will I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom will I be afraid? When the wicked come against me to eat my flesh, my enemies and my foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army should encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. Isn't that amazing to think about? He's saying, John, ask her not to sit there. That light right above you may fall. I don't want to hit you. Sorry to interrupt you. It's hanging by literally a thread. And so just ignore it. Everyone's going to be looking back up there now. If it falls, we'll have a party. But until then, don't worry about it. But David, in the middle of his enemies ready to attack him, he is like, who's got me in fear? You're my salvation, Lord. This would have caused fear and anxiety in someone who did not trust God. But David, not David, no. His only desire was to be in communion with his God even in the middle of an attack. Be in communion with his God, even in the middle of being attacked around him. Psalm 27:4 says this as he continues on. He says, "One thing I have asked from the Lord, that will I seek after, for me to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, see the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple." Wow. What are you talking about? Like, just in the everlasting with God, wherever God's at, that's where I want to be. This is amazing. David was the king of Israel, the leader of the armies of God's nation, in the middle of war, and a proclaimer of God's goodness. The pressures of anyone, more than most of us can handle, but not David. He praised and worshiped his God. Where's your mind and attitude? Are you ready to fall into worship? When you walk through those doors, were you ready to fall in to worship? To worship means honor or respect. And in our case, honoring and respecting God. And we honor God by praying, by singing, giving, serving, reading, speaking, but all done through an attitude of worship. We usually give worship as only praise. Oh, we worship this morning when we sing songs, we praise him. But praise is really altogether different. When we are praising, we are worshiping God, but when we're worshiping, we're not always praising. We are worshiping God right now as we learn of him. That's worship. Worship and praise are given to us by God as an expression of his love for him and our love for him. If done correctly by us, it will draw our minds to him and allow our spirit to minister to God through his spirit. The purpose of my message today is to encourage us to worship and praise God with intent and purpose. Just coming and seeing how the mood is going to be set by the music that Pastor Nick chooses and whether it's done right and whether I feel comfortable or not. We'll just see how it goes. See, if we would walk through those doors with purpose and intent to worship, no matter what happens, then nothing's going to falter it. I mean, that light could fall and shatter everywhere, and we're still, because our minds are so focused on worshiping, right? The air conditioning could go out like it did a few weeks ago, and we, right? The electricity could just go off, and we just keep worshiping. Because our mind is so focused on worshiping. But sometimes we kind of like, I'm going to walk through those doors and let's see what happens. Let's see if the music is going to be loud. Let's see if Pastor Blake's going to bring it. And when I walk out the door, I'll let you know whether it was good enough with our worship or not. See, sometimes that's the way we kind of get. So we're not really purposely intending to fall here. I want to start by talking about praise and then lead into some thoughts about worship. Praise, by definition, is this: an expression of approval, accommodation, applause. It's getting excited about something, and the response is an outward showing of that excitement. So I want you to think about that this morning. If you say, "Oh, we sang this morning, we had praise music this morning. We praised God with our singing this morning." Did you? Or did you stand there like this? Amazing grace, how sweet the song that saved a wretch like me. I don't know, but my singing is a little off, right? Look, if you were not moved by God's amazing grace this morning, if you are not moved by He is our living hope, if you are not moved by the music and to praise Him, and there should be an outward sign of that. A hand move a little bit, a little clap just a little bit, right? A little like head tilted back, a little smile on your face, even I'll take a smile sometimes. Right? A little nod of your head, you know, something. There should be something of some outward expression of what's going on inwardly. That's praise. Now, for a long time, I went to a church that was very methodical growing up, and they had a reverent worship. Like, all the hymns are done with the organ, which is fine, but if you had any body part moving, you were not being reverent. And that, you know, so I understand there's kind of like, there's some teaching to teach that out of you, but when you look at the definition of praise, and you look at how David did when he praised God, he danced before the Lord, and people would raise their holy hands and praise God in the Bible. Over and over again, you see them falling on their knees, falling on their face, falling down prostrate on the ground to praise Him's holy name, to lift their heads up, to lift their heads down. There's some kind of outward expression of praise. Getting excited about something, and the response should be an outward showing of that excitement. So if you're holding it back, you're like, well, I'm getting a little excited, but we're in church. I don't want to get too excited. Just let it go. Let that outward expression come out of you that's inwardly already happening. It's okay. There's a comedian up there, and he does a little thing about hand raising, and he talks about the different kinds of hand raising. And he goes, you know, you start off down here, you just, that's kind of, you know, holding a TV. And then he has a big screen TV. You know, and then he gets in one like this, like, that's change a light bulb. Right? You know, there's one, I can't remember. There's, anyway, you got different ones. You know? There's one here that's, it's a parachute. You know, but anyway. So we, it's okay to have your hands move, your foot to go a little bit. It's okay, a little head nod. If nothing else, just a big smile, something to show that you're really truly praising, because otherwise it's all internal and you're worshiping, but there's not praise coming out. There should be an outward sign of the praise. The Bible tells us different ways that we can pray, and it comes out by the leading of the Spirit. And none of these ways include silence or inaction. But there is time for silent meditation, and there is time for meditation and prayer, but not in praise. Scripturally expressing your excitement and praise includes clapping your hands. The Bible says in Psalms, clap your hands, all you people. So when I say, hey, give God a praise, clapping your hands, right? It's biblical, right? Verbal praise, shout to the Lord with a joyful noise. It doesn't like, amazing grace, how sweet. It's shout, amazing grace, right? Lifting up your hands, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Right there out of Psalms. Singing, come before His presence with singing. God desperately desires us to praise Him. It's right there in the Bible. He tells us to let them praise the Lord for His goodness. Praise is also a thanksgiving to God. The testimony of God's goodness towards the world and the thanksgiving to God should be proclaimed to others all around us. Here's the key to our praise. When we come together in worship, when we're giving thanks to the presence of others, let all we do be focused on Him. And so often our praise is not focused on Him. It's focused on what we've always done in the past, or it's focused on tradition, or focused on other people around us, or focused on the air conditioning, or focused on the sound of the music, or, you know, it's always focused on something like what we're going to have for lunch, my stomach's growling, you know. It's usually always focused on something else. And that's why we don't see that expression of praise. And I know this because people will come to me after a great service or a service online, and I'll get some negative comment or some negative comment as they're walking out the door. Yeah, the music was a little loud today. Wait, that's what you got out of all that? Right? Where was the focus? I'm okay if you tell me like later on, like, hey, man, music was great. Worship was great. We had a wonderful time. I just praise God. And like on Thursday, you let me know, hey, but just want you to know the music was a little off today, or whatever. I'm okay with constructive criticism, but if you walk out the door and that's the first thing you think of, maybe, just maybe, your mind wasn't really on the God who gave you all life, the God who created you. And that's what we should be praising. Let's all be focused on Him, and the natural outpouring will be praise. Did you know that praise is one of the only activities that we will do for all eternity? It is. We're going to worship God for all eternity, but praise, and we look at worship just a bit later, praise is going to be there for all eternity. Did you know we won't be praying in heaven? Well, we don't need to pray. We just tell God, hey God, right? Did you know there won't be any time for faith? We won't need faith. It'll be right there. It won't be like, oh, I didn't know. It's like when people say, oh, after I died, I had an opportunity. No, because you have to have faith. And after you die, there's no faith. You see it. You already know. Like, I'm in hell. Oh, it was real. Okay. God, I'm ready to believe in you now. Oh, a little late now. Right? Because there's no faith there. Right? We won't have faith in the afterlife because there won't be anything for faith. Did you know we won't have any hope? Because the things that we're hoping for now, it will already be there. So those forms of worship will not be a part of us. But praise will be forever and continue in heaven forever and ever. Now, as I said earlier, worship and praise are different. Worship can be silent. Worship could be praise and have noise. Worship is an action resulting in the love that we have for God, but that action could be just bowing down silently, kneeling, laying, standing, sitting, all done while in prayer or meditation or while singing or reading or giving or serving. All those things are worshiping God, not necessarily in praise. When our love for God becomes an all-consuming love and adoration, we will worship Him in our actions. We will worship Him in our giving, in our serving, in our speak. We will worship Him in everything. Look what David says in Psalm 145. He says, I will exalt you, my God and King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and I will praise your name forever and ever. I will worship you, God, every day forever and ever. I will praise you, God, forever and ever. David, as God's king on earth, right, to God's people, adores God as the King of all kings. And he says, I will exalt. Exalt means to set high above all others. It's an expression of the greatest possible admiration. And then he says, forever. I love this. Forever. Now, forever, if you don't know, means without end. But he says, forever and ever. It's kind of like if there's any thought that I may, after death, stop praising you, I'm going to put that ever in there. That forever and ever. It's kind of like saying God is holy, 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 right? Forever and ever. It's for eternity and ever. Just in case there's a gap in eternity somewhere, right? Our worship of God should be as eternal as a God we worship. Continues on in 145, he says this, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unfathomable. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of your majesty and your wondrous works. They shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. Our worship should be in direct comparison to the object of our worship. Great worship for a great God. There's no part of God's greatness which is not worthy of great worship. So many people believe that worship is a means by expressing the self needs. Right, I needed to be there and with other people. I needed to worship God, right, rather than an exalting of the sovereign God. Yeah, I need to be here because I need to worship my God because He is so great. Not for my own eternal things, but because He is so amazing. Worship is not how we feel, but should be focused on the object of our worship, which is God, which is what I talked about earlier. What's our attitude when we come in? If we are not worshiping God because of something internally, how we're feeling, something's going on in our lives, then something's wrong. We're focused on the right thing. Worship is about the Almighty God towards the Almighty God. No chorus or hymn is too loud. No band or orchestra is too large. For the glory of God and all creation, it should be big. Because He is big. To a God that is immeasurable, unfathomable, our worship needs to be immeasurable and unfathomable. Paul put it this way in Romans 11:33. He said, oh, of the deep of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and unfathomable are His ways. Notice in verse 4 of Psalm 25, he said this, one generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. If we in this generation do not exalt God in our teaching, then we're not passing on to the others of the next generation. If dry, unemotional, indifferent teaching about God does damage to our kids, it is inconsistent because it says that God is great, but we'll worship Him as if He's not. My desire is that all young people would be radically focused on Christ. And that radical focus on Christ will be an outpouring and willingness to radically worship Him with purpose and with intent. We don't want the next generation of believers to have heads filled with just facts about God. That's great. You have some facts about God. Most of the facts that I was taught younger were just facts about the church, not about God, which is really kind of weird. Facts about the rules of how to live, you know, in the church, right? We want them to be filled with God and see in their hearts that the burning of fire of God's love and grace and mercy is just pouring out of them, where the natural outflowing is a radical worship with purpose to God. We want to see worship flow out of the burning love for them, for God. It is in this passing on of a better understanding of God. Statements of doubt and fear and worry will hopefully be wiped away. Verse 5 in that Psalm 155 gives us one way to help us walk in Christ and pass this walk on to the next generation. It says, I will speak of the glorious honor of your majesty and of your wondrous works. So often when I hear about Christians, all they're doing is spouting off things that they know about God or how we should act as a believer or how God wants us to act. Or, you know, that's what you see so often. But maybe, just maybe, out of your mouth should be the wonderful glories and miraculous things that God has done in your life and the lives of those around you. I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Because God, He loves me. He loves you. He died on the cross for you. He came alive 3 days later for you. He is our living hope. He's your living hope. That should be just exuding out of us. Worship. Worship Him in our daily life of all the glorious honor, who He is and what He deserves, and of His wondrous works, what He has done and what He will do. God sees us when we are injured and blind and hurting and scared, and He says, that's okay, I have made you righteous and holy in me. Because of His character and seeing how God deals with us, we should fall into worship. Because of the knowledge of God's character, we should fall into worship. He has no rivals. He is King of all kings, Lord of all lords. It is not that we're just obligated to make Him preeminent in our lives, though we should, because He is preeminent, whether we are obligated or not, or whether we do it or not. But more because we know His character and we know His works, it should be flowing out of us with worship. I don't see how anyone who is focused on Christ and sees His goodness and sees His grace does not show out God's preeminence in their life. And how worship just isn't flowing out of them. So if Christ is not preeminent in your life, it's because you're either not knowledgeable of the God who is your sovereign God, or you know, but you're refusing to allow it to live inside you. You're refusing the knowledge that you know of this wonderful, beautiful God. You're refusing to acknowledge it in your life. David is saying that there is a direct link between our heart and our tongue. We speak about what's in our heart. And if you want to know what someone holds preeminent, right, just listen to what they talk about. If a preacher's online and you're watching a preacher on TV or whatever, and all he talks about is like the second coming of Jesus, that's all he prophecy this, prophecy that, and that's all he talks about, that's what's in him. If he talks about, here's these rules and do this and follow this and rule this and follow this, that's all that's in him. If all you hear, like every service you hear him say, repent, that's all that's in him. It's what comes out. I had a preacher one time, and he was so focused on this one passage of scripture And I don't know, he preached like 3 months on angels. I don't know. It's like we come, okay, yeah. And at one time I kind of asked him like, well, it doesn't seem like y'all are getting it, so I'm going to keep preaching until y'all get it. And I'm like, okay. I got it the first time. Move on. But sometimes that's what happens. Like, if you talk to someone and all they talk about is one thing, that's what's on their mind. And I understand sometimes life happens and life consumes you and that's all. But that's where you got to start thinking, okay, what's around me is consuming me and all I do is talk about that life that's consuming me. Maybe I should be talking about the great God and His unfathomable works and His glorious creation of around me. Maybe my mind should be talking about the salvation that He's given me. Maybe I should be talking about something else because that's what should be in me. That's what my focus should be. Our hearts were so full of God that our tongues would not be able to stop talking about Him or allow Him to speak His love and grace to others. If God is so much a part of every aspect of our life, then that's what's going to show out of it. But maybe you're one of those people who don't want that to happen. Maybe you're comfortable with your life. And you know that if this God thing really catches on and starts flowing out of you, some of your friends may not be around anymore and you don't want to lose your friends. Maybe you think, well, there's some hobbies and things I like to do. If this God thing really takes a hold of my life and starts flowing out of me, maybe those hobbies will change. I kind of like those hobbies. Maybe that's where you're at. Okay, you know, maybe you like your money and your toys and you know that if this God thing starts flowing out of you, maybe something's going to change with all that. I don't know. But don't tell me about your experience with God if you're afraid to really truly just worship Him and fall into worship. They'll say, well, I went to church Sunday, but then it was all right. Right? We should be ready to just fall into worship every day of the week. God wants you to worship Him every part of your life, including the messed up parts, including the parts of your life where you don't want other people to see. Yeah? Because He is every part of our life. He's just not like the sacred parts. I remember hearing that. They're like, you know, here's the sacred parts of your life and here's the secular parts of your life. You listen to secular music. You go to a secular school. You go to a secular job. But then we have a sacred Sunday and a sacred music you listen to. And you're kind of separating these two things. How do we take God? Like, sorry, God, I'm going to leave you on the shelf here. I'm going to go to my secular job, you know. Sorry, God, I'm going to turn on a station and listen to some secular music. I'm going to leave you on the curb right here. And, you know. No, I think He likes the Eagles, too. I think He does. There's some good music. I even think maybe He even likes some of the Beatles. I don't know. They made some good music. Maybe a couple songs. I'm just saying, God's right there with us. Worship God in all aspects of your life. And in the bad things, just acknowledge that God's there. And if He doesn't like it, He'll let you know and you'll stop doing it. But if you just set Him aside on some shelf, like you can just set God aside, like, okay, I'm going to go do my sacred life. Sunday, come on, God, let me put on the armor of God. Okay, Monday, take God's armor off. And I'm going to go Monday through Saturday, just do my secular life. That's the way it works. God's always there. God wants to worship you. Wants you to worship Him in every aspect. He's every aspect of your life. God is powerful and awesome. He's also tender and knows the needs of His people. God does not willingly withhold anything good from His children. David praised Him for His open hand that satisfies the desires of every living thing. Instead of giving grudgingly or out a little at a time, God takes His hand and opens it to completely fill us with Himself. There's nothing that we need that we don't have already in Him. When we're wiped out, when we're stressed, maxed out, He wants us to look to Him and say, I can't do it. He goes, I know, I got you. He will not stomp on us when we're down, but instead He'll treat us tenderly and give us exactly what we need. Because of God's provisions, we can trust Him with our problems. Some of you may feel that God is mad at you or that you're ineligible to receive His grace. Because maybe you've done something that you think, oh, this can never be forgiven. God's grace can't even fix this. I'm telling you, that is a lie in your head, because that's not what the Bible says. He's here to hear all who call upon Him. With one qualifier, though, that you call on Him in truth. That just makes sense, right? That you're just not going to say some words, right? You get that track at the back of it. So it's just repeat these words and God will save you. And you just go, okay, dear Jesus, I love you. I love you. And you think by saying these magic words, all of a sudden it's going to happen. No. If you say those words in truth, yes. But if you're just saying, like, I thought they're magic little mumble jumbo words, no. If you go to God and say, God, I'm so sorry for doing that, and you're not really sorry, you just feel bad about it, that you got caught, it's a little different, isn't it? So if we go to Him with truth, He will hear us. And He will look in our life and go, I see that truth in your heart. The common hint of truth is to recognize that the only way to God is through Christ, and that He makes all things new. To know and agree that Christ is the only one who creates a new creature in you, that His words are true. When you call on Him in truth, He will hear your cries. No one has ever cried out to Jesus in truth, has never been ignored or not delivered. If anyone has ever called on Jesus, you will always be delivered. You will never be ignored. The final verse of the song and worship in Psalm 145 repeats the first verse, or the thought of the first verse. It says this in 145 verse 21. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all the people bless His holy name forever and ever. David doesn't have a monopoly on praise and worship. In fact, he desires that everybody would praise and worship just like he does forever. And just in case you didn't think that was enough time, ever. He wants everybody to do that. God deserves our worship, people. God deserves our worship because of who He is. He deserves our worship because of His character. He deserves our worship because He is preeminent. He deserves our worship because He is ever present. He deserves our worship because He is God and God alone. Church, will you fall in to worship this morning? Will you fall into worship this afternoon and tomorrow while you're at work or during about your day or Wednesday afternoon or Friday afternoon? I want you to think about this message all week long and go back and read Psalm 145 by yourself. It's a short psalm. It's wonderful. But just read it in the aspect of, like, God, I am purposely putting in my mind to worship You. If you're with us online today and watching on video, will you commit to just reading Psalm 145, and that you would have a desire to truly just fall into worship? I desire that more than anything else. Church, let me pray with you this morning.